powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost. Here we go
now. This hour is brought to you by Mazda of Everett. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to get you guys caught up with some Mariners news. We've got tickets to give away later this hour. Robbie Ray going to join us later this hour, coming up in 30 minutes. Also, we're going to open up phone lines. Your question, it's an easy one, can be a fun one. Who are you most proud of in yesterday's brawl? And who are you most embarrassed for? Call 206-421-3776. Getting started with line two, Mark in Auburn. Mark, who are you most proud of and most disappointed for or embarrassed for? Oh, Mark, are you there? Line two?
Yeah, I'm here. Are you there?
Oh, we got you, Mark. All right. We want to hear who you're proud of and who you're embarrassed for.
Oh, I'm proud of J.P. Crawford. You know, he ran in there with that attitude. You know,
Oh, no, Mark, I got to cut you off, Mark. You're breaking up. Try to call back in if you get a better connection. 206-421-3776. Proud of JP, though, is Mark was proud of JP. We didn't hear the second part of his call.
Oh,
Mark,
yeah.
Try to call back in if you can. All right, let's go to line three. Is it Eddie in Tacoma? Who are you most proud of and who are you most embarrassed for?
You know what? I'm proud of Scott Service because Dad's always in the mix. So I just absolutely love him. And in my house, we just call him Dad.
Who are you most embarrassed for?
Mike Trout. Where the hell did he go? Oh, sorry. You can't say that.
No, you're good.
Where did Mike Trout go?
It is interesting. Trout's the one who was most upset. And then you're looking for him in this fight. And you're like, interesting. You're standing off to the side, eating sunflower seeds. I don't know what you're doing, but he's not in there.
Right. And you got two relievers that got kicked out. Right. Our good hitter got kicked out.
Thanks, Edie. Edie, proud of Scott Service. Embarrassed for Mike Trout. Curious to see if either of those two land on anyone else's lists. Let's go to Brady in Scottsdale. Brady, I want to hear who you're proud of and then who you're embarrassed for.
All right. So I am most proud of Winker. I mean, he walked over to the bench, the whole bench. And nobody wanted to come out, but he said these hands are ready to eat for everyone. We've never had somebody like that in the team for a while.
And who you most embarrassed of or for?
I think it's Iglesias who threw the seeds. I mean, it was just pathetic. It was a tantrum.
I'm with you. I'm proud of Winker. Winker walked over and said, look, I don't know who's behind me. I don't care if no one's behind me, but you're about to get these hands. And then Iglesias is like, what does that do? Like, the groundskeeping crew has to pick that up. Like, you just put in more work for your groundskeeping crew. Like, what are you doing, man?
Absolutely.
And with the bubble gum, too. He was like, it wasn't enough. Somewhere in that dugout, there was a random utility guy that wasn't part of it that was like, man, I wanted those sunflower seeds. Like, he was really upset about it. Brady, thanks for the call. All right. Who are you most proud of and most embarrassed for? 206-421-3776. Before I move to another caller, Bump, I got to know your answers.
Who am I most proud of? I am most proud of JP. JP Crawford, Long Beach, California stand-up. Not only did he throw hands, it was like a jumping Superman punch. Trying to get over somebody. Like, he must be training MMA during the off season.
Yeah.
Now, who am I most embarrassed of? I got to go with Nevin. Because Nevin is like, first off, you made the move to bring in the opener, and then you don't own it. Like, we get it. There's unwritten rules in baseball. And if you felt like the Mariners went against the unwritten rules and they needed to be punished for it, then just go out and say it. Whether you're right or wrong, just go out and say it. So, like, be a man. Own it.
Yeah, Phil Nevin would also be mine most embarrassed for. I mean, it was your call, all of that. And then, like, anytime managers really get into the face of players, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
But there's something about it where I'm like, man, you know you were in the wrong. And Jesse Winker, you can hear him saying he's a kid. Like, don't throw Julio. He's 21 years old. He's 70-odd games into his career. I know what you're doing. I know why it's Julio. But, like, it was so obvious from the jump. You know what? Actually, because it was obvious from the jump, I'm going to throw in embarrassed for the umps. What'd you do? Why are you not issuing warnings when Jen Mueller, who joined us earlier, said everyone knew? Reporters were talking about it before the game. Most proud of, I got to shout out Taylor Trammell for basically putting that Angels, I don't know if it was a bench coach, I couldn't see who it was, into basically a headlock, escorting him out of of the fight. I mean, proud of him for trying to break it up and doing it pretty effectively at first.
Love it.
All right, back to the phone lines, 206-421-3776. Let's see if Mark was able to get back here. Mark, do we have you again?
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. All right, so Mark, who are you most proud of and most embarrassed for?
All right, I'm most proud of JP. That's a team captain right there. Mm-hmm. Going in there, you know, he had that attitude of, if we don't win, we all jump in. You know, he's in there just dropping bombs on people. Who I'm most embarrassed for, I'm going to say Kevin Padlow, because if you watch the video again, he's just standing around playing touch butt with a bat in his hand, not doing nothing. He's not trying to get in there and get in the mix. And then I'd also have to say Mike Trout, because, you know, Mike Trout, he backs away from everything. You know, when they try to promote the MLB or anything, he just doesn't want to talk about anything besides himself. So that's who I'm embarrassed with, those two.
All right. Thanks for the call, Mark. Mark's understanding is when it's time to throw hands, you throw hands.
Throw hands.
Throw hands. That's the rule. You see the bullpen guys running over across the field. What are you doing?
Or at least act like he want to throw hands. Like, just get up in the mix and just start touching.
Oh, that's my favorite part of baseball fights is, like, the guys that, like, they aren't mad at each other. They aren't sure what happened. But you're like, it's the rule. I have to clear. Yeah. I have to get out there. So they just look at each other and it's like, hey, what's up?
Yep.
Yeah. I've seen you here before. How's it going?
You good? I'm good.
Yeah. Let's go to Nelson in Kent. Nelson, who are you most proud of and who are you most embarrassed for?
Hey, Stacey, Bump. Stacey, I'm so glad you're keeping these segments. I can't wait to call in on the football season. I got to say, I've been really critical of Winker this year, and everything about the guy, like, I really love. I mean, it's, you know, the last time we got in, like, a semi-brawl with the Astros, I mean, he was ready to just take a year's out of frustration on all of them, and I loved it. So I'm really happy to see him come around. I'm happy to just see him stick up for Julio like that. I'd say I'm probably most embarrassed for maybe Phil Nevin. I mean, that's just, you know what you were doing, and you gotta have the umpires in there too. You kind of stole my thunder there, the umpires, and they threw Julio out. I mean, I couldn't even see what Julio did. Like, that's just a joke. I'm happy to see the Mariners showing some fight. I was actually at the fight that Richie Sexton threw the helmet at the pitcher on the mound. That was, the crowd was going nuts. And I was, you know, our team needed a little spark. We've been barely getting by against some pretty bad teams and barely winning games. I mean, we probably left 150 runners on in the last six games. But, good to see some fight, and I'm down for Winker for good now. I mean, he could struggle the rest of his career. I'm ready to love that guy, and especially after seeing Amir Garrett's tweet about him. It just sounds like he's such an awesome teammate.
Thanks for
and
the
hey,
call.
Bob, oh. Sorry about that Altuve joke on the phone lines about a week ago.
Oh, love that you, was you.
No!
Hey, it's all good, baby.
Thanks
I
for the call,
it.
Nelson. I think I will say JP and Winker, who were Nelson's two choices, most popular by far on the text line.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say with so far callers having mentioned maybe one or the other, I mean, those two were most involved for sure. And I think people are seeing it as like, look, I like what you mentioned earlier. No one necessarily wants a fight.
Yeah.
I mean, I do, but it's mostly tongue in cheek. But like, no one wants it, but it happens. So when it happens, who handles it well and why? What are the unspoken rules being followed or broken?
Yeah, and we talk about unspoken rules. Winker showed one. You don't pitch at my little brother. You don't throw at him. All right, I'm going to get after you. And then he went right up to the manager and face to face, like, look, he's a kid. Why are you throwing at him? So yep. Winker, man, he got some points.
I am telling you, he did more in that fight than he has done in any individual game this year, which is wild. Because he's been playing better of late. And I don't mean to be like, oh, it was a great look for baseball or the Mariners or whatever. But I'm just saying, in terms of endearing himself to fans,
yeah,
that did it more than anything else.
He's a fan favorite, man. We got to have a Winker Day or something where everyone gets some boxing gloves or something like that.
And free pizza.
Yeah.
And free pizza.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Going to Bo in Puyallup. Bo, who are you most proud of and who are you most embarrassed for?
It's 100% Winker that I'm proud of. That man came with the hands and the two-finger salute for the boot. So,
that may or may not be my phone background. I mean, I don't condone it. Again, I don't condone it, but thanks for the call, Bo. See, like I said, Winker. Winker is just the most – I'm Winker and JP, two most popular answers. They will both certainly be suspended. They will be suspended, but – let's go to Bill in Linwood. Bill, who are you most proud of and who are you most embarrassed for?
Yeah, sure. Oh, by the way, hi Bumpa, welcome. You're doing a great job. Love to have your voice. Thanks for being here with us. Thank you.
Appreciate you, bro.
Hey, anyway, yeah, definitely for me, these managers are responsible. I got to give, great props to Scott Service. He's not the youngest, strongest, or biggest guy, but he had the guys back. He was in there mixing it up with the guys. On the other hand, Phil Nevin, you know, manager, he's also a coach. They've got a lot of young players. He's supposed to coach these guys up, but that's a bad, bad example for these younger players to go be hitman on somebody like that. And the last thing, you guys, is we shouldn't take too much solace in this yet, because we're still a half game behind the Angels and the standings.
True. But we're 1-0 when it comes to throwing hands. So.
Yeah. Yes.
But no, you make some good points. And that's a great point that you put out there, that what are you teaching this young guy? Right. I'm talking Nevin. You put this young man in a horrible position. He had nothing to do with this. If you even have an inkling of knowledge about baseball, look at the situation. We had a texter text in. You guys are such hypocrites. The Mariners throw at Trout, and it's disgusting. Yeah, bro. Know the situation. It's
Thanks
ninth
to
inning.
This Angels fan for listening.
Yeah, it's the ninth inning. Why would they throw at Trout in that situation? Like, it makes no sense at all. So, but now, Wance or Wance, however we're going to pronounce his name.
I've been figuring it out, and I can't tell.
He's put in a horrible situation. That's why Winker didn't even go after him, because he knew it. He's like, it's not this kid's fault. Just like he called Julio a kid. Like, he's like, look, this is not this kid's fault, right? Winker's a true veteran, man. And this is the second time he's been the first one to get out. I forgot who they – was it the Astros?
Yeah, when Service went out there and Winker was right behind
Winker
him.
Winker was right there. Like, yeah. Winker's down, man.
He is. All right, let's go to – is he from New York?
I don't know.
Isn't he from New York?
He's from Buffalo.
Buffalo.
He's Bill's Mafia, man.
That's
They're
the
nuts.
Thing. He brings a folding table with him to those fights. Going to Cass in Seattle. Cass, who are you most proud of and who are you most embarrassed for?
Oh, I'm most proud of JP. I think especially because he's going to be around. We know his contract was is extended this year. So he really needs to set the tone that he is a leader. And I think him immediately coming in there and smacking the guys around who are going after Jesse, I think really, really makes it clear that he's ready to be the leader this team needs going forward.
And who are you most embarrassed for?
Oh, Iglesias. I mean, it's an obvious answer, but I've been thinking about it. And I think that motivation behind it is just so absurd. I mean, because if he was trying to destroy the dugout to make it look like it was less premeditated, like he was truly upset that he was getting, you know, kicked out, if he was getting ejected, and he was trying to make it look like it was a bigger deal than it was, then like, that's stupid. And then if he was actually upset to get his hands dirty, like he's going into this game, he knows that this is the plan, and then he gets ejected and he's really pissed that he's one of the ones who has to like take the fall for this thing that he knew was going to happen. Like, I think that just looks pathetic. So either way, beyond the ridiculousness of what the action was itself, I think all the motivations just add layers of absurdity and moronicness, honestly.
Well, let me say, I love your voice. You got a voice for radio. You should probably look into doing that. Great analysis of that whole situation.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem. And JP, I love JP getting in there. He goes, look, I've been here the longest out of most of you guys, right? I just signed a contract. I'm going to be here for a while. And then Iglesias. It's like when my kids used to throw fits when they're like 3 or 4 years old. That was equivalent to my 3 or 4 year old just throwing his body on the ground and just rolling around and throwing a tantrum. I'm like, you are a grown man, son. Like, if you have an issue, walk out there and say something. You're throwing seeds and bubble gum and like, and then go pick it up, man. Come on.
The seeds, the slow motion replay of it is what got me. Like, it was the slow motion packaged sunflower seeds falling out. By the way, yards and yards away.
Did you guys see Pitching Ninja, who does all those overlays and those fancy graphics? He did one of Iglesias tossing the sunflower seeds.
Amazing. All right, let's go to Jeremy in Tacoma. Jeremy, who are you most proud of and who are you most embarrassed for?
Definitely most proud of Wink. Not just for getting up in their dugout, but the way he handled it afterwards. He apologized for flipping the bird and for nothing else. You know, a lot of times players will get into these situations where they try to soften the blow of a known coming suspension, and Wink owned all of it. My honorable mention, though, for who I'm most proud of, the girl on Twitter that ordered him pizza handled all the fan smoke so well. Tip of the cap to her. And then definitely most embarrassed for Trout. You know, his wolves, ears back, teeth showing. He acted like he was bred in captivity. He's the leader of the known baseball world, and he was shying away.
Thanks, Jeremy. All right, going to – I'm going to run through these next two so we can get to four down territory. Going to Sean in Centralia. Sean, how about you?
Well, it's very easy to pick any one of the players previously picked, but I'm going to pick Dave Sims as most proud of. Did you hear his response to Iglesias throwing that stuff out on the field?
No, what'd he say?
Oh, it was priceless. It was something to the effect of, oh, you're so mad, go get something. Go get someone. You know? In other words, man up and go do something if you're that mad. And, Sims was calling him out, basically, and I loved it. And secondly, the most embarrassing is Nevin. He hasn't got the guts to admit that they had a problem with things. He set that whole thing up. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all know it, and it's going to be interesting to see what MLB does about it, because Suarez was scheduled. Everything was changed at the last minute, and that was it. And after the first inning, he knew when Wentz went out there in the second inning, there was still more to do. No, Nevin's the most embarrassing punk for not having the guts to admit it.
So that was perfect. Punk. I like that word for Nevin, because it's like, even if you would handle that situation differently, even in hindsight, you're like, oh, man, I probably blew that. Shouldn't have done it that way. Still explain or express how you felt in that moment. Like, truly. Just be like, look, this is how we felt. I didn't like it. I sent my guy out. We got to send a message. I bet you your boys would respect you more if you did that as well. So, yeah, Nevin. Punk.
All right, last caller here. Dion in Tacoma, who are you most proud of and who are you most embarrassed for?
Man, most proud of, I got to go with J.P. Crawford for that over the brawl punch he threw. He's now got more punches in his one season than Draymond has in his whole career.
How about embarrassed for?
Most embarrassed or disappointed, I say Mike Trout, man. I needed to see some action or Shohei. I need them to get in there and throw something, man. They're getting paid all that money. I want them to put on a show for us.
I'm with that. Mike Trout, the biggest shoulders, neck. He could play Mike linebacker for the Seahawks right now. You're the biggest dude out there, and you in the back not doing nothing. And he was talking that stuff the night before. It's like, all right, man, if you feel that way, then show me you're that way. Now, with Shohei, I don't know his personality enough. You know what I'm saying? I guess he can get a pass for me right now, but you would think that he'd be in the mix, too.
One would think. All right, speed round, four down territory. Let's go.
This is four down territory, brought to you by Genuine Auto Glass. Going inside the game with former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
First down, Bump. The NFL wants a minimum punishment of a year suspension for Deshaun Watson. Though this may be deserving, especially if allegations are true, why would it be considered unfair?
I'm not advocating for Deshaun Watson not to be punished if all this is true. All I'm saying is that you must punish the GMs and the owners the same way you punish the players. The NFL Code of Conduct says we hold these guys, the GMs and owners, to a higher standard than the players. Kraft not punished. Jones not punished. Snyder, they're hiding evidence of what he did. All I'm saying is be fair. Those guys need to be suspended as well.
Second down. The NFL's decided to not have a supplemental draft for the third year in a row. Bump, what's the supplemental draft, for those who don't know? Why is it important? And who are some ballers to come out of that draft?
Supplemental draft is a draft that happens after the main NFL draft. And what it does, it gives athletes the opportunity to enter the NFL whose circumstances have changed. Maybe they're ineligible to go to school for different reasons. So that's what it is. Why is it important? You can find a diamond in a rough. Diamond in a rough. Chris Carter, one of the greatest receivers of all time, is the only supplemental guy in the Hall of Fame right now. Terrell Pryor was also in that, and Josh Gordon was in the supplemental draft. So you can find talent in the supplemental draft, and this is the third time since 2019 they're not having that draft. The last one to do it was Thompson, the safety from Washington State University, got picked up in that supplemental draft. I feel for guys who are ineligible for some reason, now they don't get a chance to get in the league.
Third down. All right, what's another reason you feel DK will sign a deal with the Hawks soon?
DK, I'm reaching, okay? I'm reaching for this one.
Reach.
But he was at a softball game, and he called Seattle fans family, and the vibes just felt good. We know something's going to get done, right? But we got to hold on to everything he gives us. As long as DK is happy, I am happy. That means that negotiations are moving along. Might not be going at the pace that we would like it to move, but it's happening. DK, good vibes, baby.
Fourth down. NFL.com released a list of the best free agents available. Is there anyone on that list you are interested in for Seattle?
I'm always interested in Odell Beckham, man. But he's not. I don't think he'd be a good fit here in Seattle. But if something were to happen, they pick him up, then okay. But that's not who I'm focusing on. And Ndamukong Suh. Now, this guy has been in the league for a while now. Five-time Pro Bowler, I believe. Three-time All-Pro. 70 career sacks. He had six last year. Seven tackles for loss. Forget the stats, Stace. I just want that attitude. I want that nastiness on this defense. I didn't appreciate him stomping on quarterbacks back when he was in Detroit. I called him out. That's Bush League, all that good stuff. Yeah. But now it's like, I can have that guy on my team. I might want to switch it up a little bit just to bring that, because I don't think we have a guy who's mean like that on this roster. Even if he doesn't put up great numbers, that attitude is what this defense needs.
Who could be that guy eventually if he's not now?
It could be. Texters could say what Daryl Taylor, I believe, was up there. Jamal Adams could be a guy, but you need a big dude to be that guy, right? So then I look at the big homie Al Woods, man. Like, that is a big human being. Someone to talk that talk, walk that walk. Al Woods, go get him.
All right, it's time for What's on Tap, powered by Madden Industrial Craftsman. The Mariners are hosting the Orioles for the first game of a homestand tonight. Pregame show starts at 6 p.m. First pitch is at 7:10 p.m. right here on Seattle Sports Station. George Kirby, by the way, getting the start. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 7:10 and the Seattle Sports app. It's Stacey and Bump joining us next. Mariners starting pitcher Robbie Ray.
This is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacey.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
Here comes the 0-2. Swing and a miss. A slider ties up Trout in a knot. Robbie Ray strikes out the great Mike Trout for the second straight at-bat. And Robbie Ray has retired 16 Angels hitters in a row.
He also joins us now. Mariners starting pitcher Robbie Ray on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Robbie, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Robbie, I got to say, I am very eager to talk about your pitching. It's been really fun to watch you. You flirted with a no-hitter not that long ago, but Robbie, you know where I have to start this conversation. It is with the fight. Robbie, walk me through the chaos. Did it just everything turn red for you? I mean, I saw a video of you pulling someone off of someone else. It looked like you were trying to break it up. What do you remember?
Yeah, I mean, in that situation, I'm trying to, you know, de-escalate what's going on. I'm not really the kind of guy that's going to instigate something like that. So, you know, I was just trying to go in there and make sure guys weren't ending up on the bottom of the pile and getting hurt. And, you know, nobody wants to see anybody get hurt in that kind of situation. So for me, I know I don't want to end up on the bottom of the pile. So I can't imagine anybody else does. So, you know, in that situation, I'm just trying to get guys out of there and kind of break it up.
Hey, Robbie, back in my college days, I got in a couple scuffles of my own. And what usually happens is there's the post-fight, like, review. Like, everyone talks about their angle of the fight. Does that happen at all? Or do you guys even have time to do it? I would assume it would probably be after the game. But what's that like?
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of that going on. I mean, the umpires, obviously, in something as big as what happened the other day, kind of have to figure out who's getting ejected and, you know, who's going to stay in the game. So there's a little bit of time to kind of go over what happened and get some stories from guys.
Last question on this, because we more importantly do want to talk about your pitching. Out of curiosity, from a player's perspective, do fights or bench clearing brawls or rivalries ever strengthen a team? Like, does it feel like it's a galvanizing theme for you guys?
It may. I mean, I don't know. I nobody ever wants to get into a fight. Yeah. Nobody ever wants to get into a brawl. But you never want that to happen. I mean, you never want it to escalate to that, especially, you know, when you're going to have to play the team another, you know, 12 times or whatever it is. And, but yeah, I mean, it can definitely bring a club together.
All right, moving forward here. Robbie, you struck out 10, flirted with a no-hitter not too long ago, just in phenomenal form right now. The pitching staff as a whole has been great, but you've been a big part of that. You made, it sounds like, some changes. Would you mind talking to us about the pitch that you added?
Yeah, I added a two-seam fastball. I mean, it's a pitch that I've thrown in the past, but I hadn't necessarily gotten the results that I have this year on it. I think for me, you know, in the past, it may not have worked as well because my delivery wasn't as sound as it is now. My delivery, I feel really good about it, and the consistency of my release point is where it needs to be. So I think that, you know, a combination of that and bringing this pitch back and kind of tinkering with it, other than just trying to throw a standard two seam, just moving it around, trying to make it better, and actually utilizing it as a weapon, has helped me out a ton.
Robbie, I've always admired baseball players for their mental toughness, right? It's a team sport, but a bunch of individual battles going on up there. And you've had an interesting season, right? You start off hot, and then you go through your struggles, and now you're starting to find it. Talk about just the mental toughness you have to have, especially for these young kids listening who are going to experience some of these struggles, and what it takes to grind yourself out of some stuff like that and find yourself where you are now.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, it's just understanding, you know, you're going to make 32 to 33, 34 starts a year. So just understanding that you still have a lot of starts left and not being complacent with where you're at and not standing still. I think just trying to improve your game every single time you go out there in your bullpen sessions or throwing program, trying to improve on something, not necessarily adding something, but just trying to improve and get better at something. And but yeah, understanding that, you know, it's a long season, it's 162 games. And out of those, you're going to start at least 34 of them, knowing that you do have time to figure things out and not hit the panic button.
Has there been a catch made by a player this year while you were pitching where you turned around, saw it and thought, I can't believe he just did that?
You know, I can't really think of anything off the top of my head, but I know Julio can run some balls down in center field, and it's really fun to watch him out there. I mean, people don't really realize, because he's such a big guy, that the guy floats, and it's he makes plays that are, you know, not easy plays. He makes them look routine.
Well, Robbie, I'm glad you guys are back home. You're starting to see why people love Seattle, right? This weather is finally starting to come around for you. And the weather makes me think of my kids. And I know you have a wife, two sons, and a daughter. How are they adjusting to Seattle, and how are they enjoying this sunshine as of late?
Yeah, it's been great. You know, my kids love to play outside and play in the yard, and we're always out there playing baseball, a little pickup game with my sons, and you know, it's really fun. And you know, the weather, it's, you know, it's been great, and starting to warm up, and you're starting to see why people really enjoy this area.
Robbie, we swear summers are beautiful. Like, I feel like I always need to tell every player, like, I promise it gets better. Were you able to get your family on the road with you? I know this was a family trip for a lot of guys.
Yeah. So that was really cool what the team did and allowing our families to come on this road trip. And, you know, my kids were super excited to go on the plane and see all the players. And it was a really fun trip.
Robbie, this starting rotation, you guys have been balling as of lately. What, 24 starts where you've given up 3 runs or less? Is that something you guys talk about as a, you know, as a starting five? Like, look, guys, we're in the zone right now. Or do you kind of just ignore it and just focus on you when it's your day to take them out?
Yeah, I think there's, you know, for us, we're just trying to build off of every start. I think, you know, we take the things that we do good and we work on the things we need to work on in the pen. And we've developed a really good relationship of where we watch all, each other's bullpens and, you know, just encourage each other and support each other. And, you know, if we have any input or suggestions or questions, you know, everybody's open to it. So I think we've just kind of really developed a really solid relationship between the five of us, and where we can just be honest and open. And I think that's helped us out a ton.
Who have you found yourself getting closest to? Because obviously this is your first year with the team, but how are some of those relationships developing?
They're great. You know, me and Marco, we, you know, kind of the older presence in the rotation, we have a great relationship. And, you know, I have a great relationship with Flexen. And I have a great relationship with all of them. And it's, you know, with Logan and Kirby, it's just being encouraging to those guys and just letting them know, like, if you have any questions, I'm here. And just bouncing ideas off of each other and just trying to keep them in line and keep them in check with how they're going about their day.
Is there anything that you could tell young pitchers today that are trying to be the next Robbie Ray or make it to where you are, I mean, your career? Any advice that you can give some of these young guys listening?
Yeah, I think for me it's just, you know, I love the game. I love baseball. And having kids has put that in perspective for me, is that, you know, my oldest son is playing baseball, and just seeing him out there and the genuine joy he has for the game has just kind of reignited that love that I have for the game. And just, you know, that I tell young guys that all the time. It's just, don't lose that fire, that love for the game, because, I mean, it's what drives you.
He is Mariners starting pitcher, Cy Young winner, Robbie Ray. Robbie, thanks so much for taking the time and humoring us on some of those first questions. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it.
Thanks, Robbie.
Yeah. All right, that was Robbie Ray. By the way, we've got another 4-pack of tickets to one of the next three games to check out the J-Rod Squad section in center field. So you get to pick either tonight, tomorrow, or Wednesday, and you get to sit in the J-Rod section on us, 4-pack of tickets. We'll take caller number 3, 206-421-3776. Caller number 3, 206-421-3776, a 4-pack of tickets in the J-Rod section in one of the next three games, your choice, today, tomorrow, or Wednesday. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. This or that, it's coming your way next.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
All right, wrapping up today's show with a little game. It's called This or That. Kind of like a Would You Rather meets like choose one of these two things. You guys know the rules. It's brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, and Electric. You can get your questions in or your suggestions in for This or That. 206-421-3776. Let's get started. This or That. You can make an amazing catch in center field. I'm talking robbing someone of a home run, leaping over the wall, or strike out a big name player.
This is why this one's tough, because striking out a big name player is dope, but you don't remember that highlight really, right? It's not going to make SportsCenter top 10. Now, if you rob somebody, that's making SportsCenter top 10.
Yeah.
And I'm going to low-key flex. I've been on SportsCenter top 10 twice in my career.
What were the two things?
They're both punt returns. Punt returns to the house. One against Oregon, one against Oregon State. I mean, Arizona State. But I'm going to go with making an amazing catch in the center field, because when you think of Ken Griffey, what's the first thing you think of? Like him robbing somebody in the outfield. I appreciate the strikeout, but I'm going with the catch.
Bump. Exactly right.
It's not even
because
close.
You know what this show stands by and has always stood by for the years it's existed? You do it for the clout.
Yeah.
And
yes.
There's no bigger clout than being on SportsCenter Top 10. The play plays in perpetuity. You get to see it time and time again. You strike somebody out, it happens all the time in a game. Yeah, you strike out a big name player, but like, how many times do we see a home run robbery? Maybe like 2 or 3 times a season?
Yeah.
And they're always amazing.
I'm taking always the amazing catch.
Yeah, it's not even close for me. Like, I'm sure striking out Mike Trout, Aaron Judge, is like a very satisfying feeling. It has to be. Striking out anyone is a satisfying feeling. But you're right. There's something about an amazing display of athleticism that just no one, everyone thinks it's gone. Everyone thinks it's over. And then the calls on those things, the play-by-play on home run robbing catches is better than the play-by-play on striking someone out.
Most definitely.
All right. This or that, Top Gun or Die Hard?
Are we talking Top Gun 2 or Die Hard 25? I mean, which one are we talking
about? The originals.
About? The originals?
Original Top Gun, original Die Hard.
Ooh, that's a good one. I got to go Top Gun. I'm biased right now because I just saw Top Gun 2, so it's like fresh. I appreciate Top Gun. I got to go with Top Gun.
Curtis?
Yeah, I'll go Top Gun as well.
Yeah.
I only say that to kind of give Saul a hard time because he's so in the pocket.
He's so
diehard
about diehard. I think he's exactly. He's in the pocket. Diehard is
big diehard.
Big diehard.
It's paying him off.
I don't know. I feel like Top Gun is objectively better than Die Hard. It's not even subjective. It's not even an opinion. It's just a better movie than Die Hard.
Yeah.
Which is...
not a bad movie, though.
Not a bad movie. Not a Christmas movie.
Apparently it is.
I didn't watch Die Hard until... well, first of all, I didn't watch either movie until I was an adult. So from the lens of someone who didn't romanticize it growing up, Top Gun was better.
What were you watching then, Stacey?
Regular movies. I don't
That's
know.
A regular and Bravo movie. Shows.
No, not as a child. I mean, I watched...
maybe.
Like normal... I don't know. Disney how old movies. Were you when you watched Top Gun?
Well, it came out like 86. So I started watching maybe when I was like 8, 9.
Okay. Well into the 90s.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I've... other movies, I remember watching Free Willy. Animal movies,
Free
loved
Willy.
Animals. The Sandlot. I loved the Sandlot. Big Green. Yeah.
What about Radio Flyer? You ever watch Radio Flyer?
No, I don't know.
Curtis?
That man.
What?
I know it's the brand of wagons.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry.
So disappointed.
I'm sorry. This or that. Speaking of punt returns, you can have a punt return for a touchdown or you can have a 50-yard touchdown catch.
From experience, nothing is like a punt return to the house. I got one for 52, one for 70-something, one for 80-something. And the one for 50-something was probably my favorite one. There's nothing like making, you got to make like 3, 4 guys miss, and then you just change the game, man. Like punt returns are something special. Anybody you see back there catching a punt, as Dave Wyman would say, they got some stones.
Yeah.
Because it's like the stampede in Lion King. When Simba's in the little valley and the stampede is coming at him, that is exactly what a punt return is like.
Guys, I appreciate the pettiness of this this or that sent in from Taylor in the 208. This or that, Angels lose another 14 or Julio goes yard in his first at-bat when they match up again in August.
Angels lose another 14.
Dude, if the Angels lose another 14, that's what I'm choosing 10 out of 10 times.
I'm with it.
Julio's going to go yard again. Curtis has him as the home run leader by the end of the season for the Mariners.
Yeah, we're going to see more Julio home runs. I don't know if we're going to see another 14-game losing streak from the Anaheim, Los Angeles, Orange County Angels of Disneyland. I would love to see it, though.
Yeah.
This or that, you can never watch TV again, or you can never listen to music again.
Wow. Damn. Yeah. Oh, dang. I'm sorry. I don't know if I can say that or not.
That one's radio friendly.
Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, you're fine. That's radio friendly.
TV or music? I'd have... I'll go ahead, Curtis. Let me think about this.
I am going to go... I would rather not.
You can never watch
music.
Survivor. I think exactly. I would, too. So I was having this conversation with my friend the other day, and she was like, you are a psychopath for not choosing music. Do you know much good TV there is?
Yeah, and sports. I wouldn't be able to watch sports. I love Riz on the radio.
Your jobs.
Hello?
I love Riz on the radio.
It's TV. The answer is TV.
It's TV.
It's TV. Yeah. Man, maybe we're just not cerebral, artistic people, but I can't give up my shows, man.
No.
Okay, this one from another listener. Would you rather, this or that, would you rather spend 1 minute in the back of an empty van with a hungry lion? Or 1 year in the back of an empty van by yourself with nothing. And the only person who knows where you are is your most hated school teacher who feeds you Spam rice and water once a day. Spam rice is good.
Nothing. I'm in the back with nothing.
Nothing.
Solitary.
For a year. So, for
a
lion.
You're not making it
The thing is, maybe the lion isn't attacking you right away. You can distract it. You can play dead. You could...
Trunk of a car?
No, you're in the back of an empty van. I think that it is possible that a hungry lion could be in the back of a van with a person and not eat that person.
I don't think that's possible.
I think maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not going to try it out. all right. This has been Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports Station on 710 in the Seattle Sports app. For Michael Bumpus, for Curtis Rogers, I'm Stacey Ross. Wyman and Bob coming your way next.